Do want to say good morning to each one of you that's here. It's good to have each one of you here this morning. I know Cheryl's glad to be here. I didn't hear anybody else. But I'm assuming that you're a little more laid back to express yourself. But yeah, it is good to be here. I don't know how many of you got up early this morning and were able to see the sunrise. It was really, really beautiful this morning, and it was just a blessing to, just see God's creation in that way, expressing who He is and expressing Himself. This morning, Dawson has had asked if he could share quickly this morning before sharing time. He has, I believe, a wedding to go to after the service. And I wasn't sure if he could stick around for sharing time. So I think at this time I'll have him come up and just give an update on, for those of you that weren't here, we had a time of prayer last Sunday for Dawson and his shoulder that he's been dealing with issues with. And so, Dawson, if you want to come up, I'll let you share what you have.
Yeah, so last Sunday, about eight guys came up and laid hands on me and prayed for healing. And I just want to give a huge thanks to God. The week previous to that last Sunday, my shoulder had been about the worst it's been in the last 4 or 5 months. And after that prayer on Sunday, this week, it went back to like the best it's been in like 5 months. So I just want to praise God, just thank God so much for the work He's doing with that healing, I'm just so thankful for the prayer of the church here. It's, and as brothers and sisters, it means so much to me. I went for treatment. Praise God. Praise God. So I went for treatment on Friday. And that actually didn't go so well. I kind of relapsed a little bit from that. but I do have confidence that that God's going to give me what I need to do this program, to do Kazakh Rescue. And I have faith in God that He's going to give me the healing that needs to take place to be able to carry through with this. And I just would really appreciate if you continue praying for 100% healing as I start the program and start doing my training. Really appreciate that. So thanks so much for your support. And one other thing, on August 30th, me and my worship band are doing another worship night in Lancaster at Grace and Truth Church. And it's probably going to be the last one we're going to be doing for a long time with me starting Kazakh Rescue. So if that's something you're interested in, we're going to be doing just praise and worship. And then in the middle, we have a prayer time specifically focused on unreached people groups around the world. So would love to see you guys there, August 30th, 7 o'clock at Grace and Truth Church. And I should be here at church August 29th, and I'll probably announce about it again then. So thanks so much for your support.
All right, thanks, Dawson, and praise the Lord for answering our prayers. And continue to pray for. I urge you to continue to pray for Dawson as he continues to work toward Kazakh Rescue, and pray that God would touch his body and that he would be able to continue on. So, thanks again for your prayers. Life is getting away from me. Just on a lighter note before I get started, on Friday night, our care group went to Christian Aid Ministries to help pack boxes. And when we got there, they brought us all in a group together, and they were kind of telling us what they need help to do. And so the first thing they did to divide us up was they said that they need some old guys to come back to this part of the warehouse to help fold boxes. You know, it's not a real strenuous job, but they need that. They have that's a good thing for the old people to do. And so we're standing there and looking around, and a couple old guys walk front with like white hair. You know, they started heading back. There was two of them, but they needed, I think, six or seven. And after that, nobody else went forward. So we were like looking around, and apparently Jeff felt a little old, so he started walking. And so I didn't really have a choice but to follow him because I was older than he was. And so anyway, that was kind of a humbling experience. And while we were folding boxes, there was a gentleman that I thought was an older gentleman. I thought he was probably my dad's age or maybe a little younger than my dad, but around that age. And we were talking back and forth while we were working, and he seemed to be a little slower. There were some Amish guys there that were slapping the boxes and sliding down, you know, really quick. But this guy was a little slower, and I just thought he was older. And so after we were done, we were cleaning up and carrying tables back, and he was leading. And I said, don't go too fast for this old man behind you. And he was like, and this was a guy that I thought was old. And he's like, yeah, right. He said, how old are you? He said, how do you say that? I forget. But he said, how old are you? I said, well, how old do you think? And he said, well, he said, I'm probably a year or so younger than you, probably. And I was like, yeah, right. You're off your rocker. I was like, he's got to at least be 5 years older than me because he looked like my dad's age. And he was like, yeah, I'm 42. I was like, oh, man. Can't imagine how old I must look. But anyway, I guess time is passing on, and it's sometimes hard to believe how fast time moves on. But anyway, into the message part of our time. The title of the message this morning I have, is Created in the Image of God. And kind of continuing on what we talked about last time I preached, and I wanted to see if you guys remembered what we talked about last time. We talked about the mystery which had been hidden from us for ages. The mystery that has been hidden from us from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. What was the title of that message? You remember? It's a phrase that just pumps me up. I love it. That's the half of it, yep. Christ, yes, yep. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we talked about the different parts of man and where Christ lives inside of us. Christ, when we become Christians, when we become born again, Christ puts a part of himself inside of us, into our spirits. And we become a new person. Our spirit comes alive. And so, just want to expound on that a little bit more. And based on the verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, I would ask you to turn there, just so you can read it and read it with me. Paul is talking to the Thessalonians, and First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Paul says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. He's asking that God of peace himself sanctifies us completely. How does he do that completely? It says, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul clearly talks about the different parts of us, our whole being. It's divided into three things. It's divided into spirit, soul, and body. And in reading in different commentaries, a lot of this information I got, you've heard Jason Reed talk about, I'm sure, if you've heard any of his messages, and I'm not going to do nearly as good of a job as he does. He has a way of just sharing all the information. It's a lot of information. It's hard to kind of keep it all in. But some of the information I got came from some of his material and also some other commentaries that I've looked at. But there is a lot of different viewpoints on the scriptures that we're going to be going over. And so with that in mind, I guess if you have a different viewpoint or if you see it differently, I would be glad to talk to you. Or I don't necessarily think that, what my viewpoint is the only viewpoint, but I believe it's what God's word has spoken to me. And so this morning I'd like to take a little bit deeper look into the spirit, soul, and body and see if we can understand why God created us this way. Why did he create us with a spirit, soul, and body? And I want to look at the role that each one of those plays in our life and how we process things. I think when we go throughout life, things happen in such quick motion that we don't understand maybe sometimes how we process things. And so I'd like to slow it down into slow motion and kind of see how we process things later on. So while you have your Bibles open, turn with me to Genesis 1, verse 26. So the things that I want to look at again is, why did God create us with spirit, soul, and body? What are the roles that they play, the spirit, soul, and body? And what are you listening to? And Truel in his devotions talked about all three parts of us with our feelings. With our feelings, he said, are good liars to us, and also are how we act. It would be our flesh or our body, how it acts out. And then the other part was the, it's not coming to me now, but it did briefly discuss about, the worship part is part of our spirit and part of the inside of us. And so Truel did briefly touch on all three parts of us. So how did God create us differently? Why did God create us different? Is it even possible, or is it even important for us to know this? I believe that if we can understand the answers to those questions, I think it's going to help us as Christians to know how we ought to live, how we ought to live our lives, how we need to make our decisions, how we process things. And so to try to get to understand this, let's go back to Genesis here. And the first verses 1 through 23, God creates the earth. Children, what did God create the earth in the first 6 days? First 5 days, I'm sorry. Do you remember? Isn't there a song about that? What was the first day? You remember the song? I don't remember it either, but I know there's a song about it. Okay, the days. Yep. First day was he had the night and the day. Second day. The sky. The third day was the land. Fourth was the stars. Then it was the birds and the sea animals. And so that's where we pick up in the creation. Verses 24 through 27, those are the verses we're going to read. Genesis chapter 1, verses 24 through 27. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind." I want you to pay attention as we read this. Listen for the repeated words or the repeated phrases. Let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So what was the repeated phrase there? According to its kind. Yep. God created the animals and the beasts of the field according to its kind. And let's notice the contrast in the next two verses. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So, in the next two verses, it's not of their kind, but we're created in whose image? In God's image, in our image. It says, "Let us make man in our image." When he created the animals, he did not liken them to himself. He made them differently. They had a different purpose. And they weren't created the same as humans. And so it's very clear that the animals and the living creatures were created from their own kind. And I believe if you count them, I think there's like 7 times where he says that they are created in their kind. So how are we created? And again, talking about how we as people, how we are created, how we work. It says in verse 26 that it says, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." What does that mean, to make man in our image? Who was God communicating with when he said that? And this is one of the verses that there is actually a lot of different people that have different views on this. And there are different religions. Some religions would say that God was talking about other gods that he was talking to. Some people believe that he was talking to the angels. But I believe here, because it comes in the first chapter where in the second verse, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. I can't find that place anymore, but he talks about us or our early on as well, and so I believe that there's really no other choice other than the Trinity that he is talking about, and so he's saying let's make man in our image, which is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I believe as humans are created in that likeness and resemblance to the Holy Trinity, I believe that our spirit, and the next 3 points here are not points that are really found, the Bible doesn't say it, but I think it makes sense to me. And so, again, if you disagree with me, it's not something I pulled right out of the Bible, but it's something that makes sense to me and how we're made up. But our spirit is I liken it to the Spirit of God. So we're made up of spirit, soul, and mind. And our spirit represents the Spirit of God. Our soul, I believe, represents the will of God, or is correlates with the will of God. And our body is in likeness to the life of Christ. So when we talk about likeness, we are like the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But the difference is that man is fallen. We're sinful. We have a sinful nature. And we're in desperate need of a Savior. And the good news is, because of the plan of salvation, we have the same Spirit, the same will, and a victorious Christian life, just like God desired from the very beginning. So if we're born again, we have the same Spirit, the same will, and have the opportunity to live a victorious Christian life. So let's look at the rules of the body. First of all, we're going to go backwards. We were talking about the spirit, soul, and body, but the body is what we probably are the most familiar with. It's the part that has our senses. We see, we taste, we smell, we hear, we feel. Those are parts of our body. That's where everything that we know, that's what it comes through. It comes through our body, through our senses. Everything that you know came from your sight, from your hearing. If you didn't have that, you wouldn't know what you know. Our eyes allow what we look at to enter into our soul or into our mind, and we'll look at that a little bit later. What we read, what we watch, what we eat affects our body and our health. What we hear, what we listen to, music especially, has an effect on our soul. I believe the other thing, our body is the tent that houses our soul and spirit. So our body is just the outward part of who we are. Everything that what we know comes through our body, through our senses. Paul in 1 Corinthians likened our body to the outer court of the temple, where all believers were welcomed. And if you're familiar with the temple, there's three parts of the temple too. There's the outer court, which is where everybody could gather. Then the inner court, where the high priests were only able to go. And then the Holy of Holies is where God's presence was. And so that's kind of similar to how we were made today. Like the outer court is where people can come in. The inner court would be considered our communication, or our souls, our minds, our thoughts. And the Holy of Holies would be our spirits, where God dwells. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" So we're talking about the body here. The body is our connection to the world. It's the tent that houses our soul and spirit. And thirdly, our body is carnal. It's the flesh. It's what dies. When Jesus died on the cross, where did his body go? His body went to the grave. It's the part that dies. There was no more life in his body. When we as people die, our bodies are buried in the ground. If you, I don't know when the last time you went to a viewing or a funeral and saw a burial, but our bodies are buried in the ground. It's the part that has no life. Again, we're talking about our bodies. And our body in and of itself is neither good nor bad. The body is only good or bad depending on what or who controls it. The next thing I want to talk about is our soul. The soul is who we are. It's our will, mind, and emotions, our personality. It's who we are as a person. It's who you are. Each person that's sitting out there, you all have a personality. You all have a... it's who you're made up of. Our soul is where we make our decisions. Through our mind, through our thoughts and intentions. A couple of Sundays ago, Brian preached on taking every thought captive. I wasn't here, but I listened to it. I heard it driving home from convention. And he gave a lot of interesting facts on our minds, on our brains. And I really appreciate that phrase that Paul uses about bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Taking every thought captive that comes through your senses, through your body. Taking that thought captive. And he talked about the way our habits and our, the different tracks that are made in our minds that create our habits. This is what our soul consists of, our minds, thoughts and intentions, our will and emotions. It's the part of us that lives forever. It's the part that spends eternity with Christ. Most of the problems that we as people face don't come from our souls. And if you look up the word... If you look up the word soul, I don't remember what the word is. I don't even know how to pronounce it, but it's the same word that it's closely related to psychology. So psychologists, if you go to a psychologist and they counsel you, or that's the part of you that they work on. They work on your soul, your mind, your will, and emotions. That's the part that they try to fix. And we'll find a little bit later that a lot of times that's not where the root problem is. When Jesus died on the cross, what did he tell the thief beside him? He said, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." And he wasn't talking about his body, because the body was going to die and go to the grave. So he was talking about his soul. "Today you will be with me in paradise, not in body, but in his soul." Our soul, who we are as a person, is the part of us that will live eternally. Now on to our spirits. What is our spirits? Can you point to something, like with the soul? I think there's something that you can point to in your body that best describes your soul. I think it's your brain, it's your mind. That's who you're made up of, and your personality comes from your mind. And that's something we can point to. But where is your spirit? What is your spirit? What part of you is your spirit? Can you point it out? And again, we can point out what our body is. We know what that consists of. And our mind is our brain. It's the tool where our souls live. But where is our spirit? What is our spirit? Our spirit is our connection to God. It is the God component in man. It's the God component in us. It's our conscience. God speaks to us through our spirit. That's the part of us where he speaks. We can read the Word of God just to read the Word, but if we aren't opening our minds into our spirits, God cannot minister to us. Unless we open our spirits to God, he cannot minister to us. So I have a question, and this may be a trick question, but do all people have the Spirit of God in them? Does everyone have the Spirit of God in them? Romans 2, verse 14. I'm going to turn there. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to. Do all people have the Spirit of God living in them? 2:14. For when Gentiles who do not have the law, and when he's talking about Gentiles, it means unbelievers. For when the unbelievers who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves. To me, that's saying that there is something inside of them that they know what the law is, without even maybe knowing who God is, but they have something in that they were created with that tells them what's right and what's wrong. In John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, it's talking about Jesus here. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. That was the true light. I'm going to start at verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. So, does every person have the Spirit of God living in them? When unbelievers come to know Christ, where does that come from? That has to come from a seed, or it has to come from an ember of some sort. So I believe that every person, because they were created by the breath of God, I believe that the Spirit, a part of the Spirit of God, lives in them. It may not be alive, but I believe there's just a seed planted in every person. And again, it might be dormant, it might be empty, it might be just a small seed. But when we become born again, our spirits come alive. Our spirits grow. Our spirits are connected. The Spirit starts to fill the emptiness. We as created humans have a deep longing for something. And that is the Spirit of God in us. That's the longing that we have in life. There's nothing else that can fill this longing. Where does our spirit go when we die? What was one of the last things Jesus said when he died on the cross? Again, going back to Jesus' death on the cross. He said, "Into thy hands I commit my spirit." And so his spirit went back to God. So how do we process decisions? What importance does this, what practical input does this have for us this morning? Does it really matter between the spirit, soul, and body? The decisions that we make, the ideas that we have, again, go through this process so quickly that we don't even think about it. But I think that it can help us understand how and why we make the decisions we make. And I believe that when we read Scripture, it'll help us to understand what it's saying, what the Bible is telling us. When we read the Scripture, it talks a lot, especially in Romans, it talks a lot about our body and talks about a lot about our spirit. And so how does this affect our everyday life? Again, everything that we are passes through the body first and our five senses. I thought about bringing coming up with an illustration to use, and I just couldn't really think of anything real good, but if you can just imagine if, you know, if I had something up here on the bench and I had somebody come up and close their eyes and just hold it in front of them and say, hey, what am I holding? You know, they don't know what I'm holding, so they can't process it until they take it in with their eyes. That's how we know what we know, through our five senses, through our body. What's in your mind and thoughts? What's in your mind and the thoughts come to you through your senses. You have either heard it, felt it, or saw something that has determined who you are as a person. So, it comes through your body. It then enters your soul. It enters your mind, emotions, and will. If you see the black arrows there, things or ideas come in through your senses and they enter your soul. And then we have a choice of what we do with it from there. I think a couple things can happen. You can, at that point, you can allow your mind and emotions and will to make a decision just quickly. And if we do that, it can often lead to bad choices or not our best decisions. Or you can take Paul's advice in 2 Corinthians about taking every thought captive, what Brian talked about, and allow the ideas to pass through your thoughts, pass through your mind, and allow it to go through your spirit, through your conscience. And ask yourself, what would God have me do in this situation? What would God have me look like? What would God want me to wear? What would God want me to do today? And I was trying to think of an example of something to give an example of how that thought process could work. And two Sundays ago, Trulin preached on the Sabbath day, keeping it holy. And so here's an example. Suppose one of your vendors from work invites you to a national show. We saw Cub Cadet, and so every year they have a national show. And the show is going to be held in Las Vegas, and at the show they are going to be having a trade show or meetings on Sunday. And so this thought, this idea, this situation has to come in through your ears, through your eyes, and through an invitation, and you have to process it in your mind. So the invite comes through your senses. Your mind might start giving some reasoning of why, reasons of why it would be okay to go, because that's when it is, right? It's not going to be on Monday. It's going to be on Sunday. And if you have to be there, you have to be there. You don't have a choice. Or do you? At that point, the decision could be made out of your reasoning, out of your thoughts and emotions, without sending it to your spirit for direction. It could just go right into your mind, and you can reason it and send it right back out. Or you may have decided, processed in your mind, that it's okay this time, but not on a regular basis to be there at the meeting. But if you sent that situation to your spirit for God to speak to you, you may have come to a different conclusion. Another example, and I want to make these real life examples because otherwise they don't benefit us. Maybe you decide that you're going to take your family out for lunch or supper on the Sabbath. And I'm not saying that you're right or wrong for doing that, but how did you decide that is what God would want you to do? How did you decide that? Did you process it through your mind and your will and emotions and reason it, or did you send it to your spirit? Do you allow your thoughts and your mind to reason away why it's okay? Or did you allow it to pass through your spirit and think about God's desire for you on the Sabbath and what the instructions in His Word say? Maybe you would say, well, it's totally not clear in certain things, like in that situation or in certain things. And maybe it's not completely clear. But have you given the Spirit opportunity to speak into things like this? Have you been living a Spirit-filled life, the fulfilled life? I know I can often try to be fulfilled in many different things. But the longing is never filled, is it? If we long after things, you know, whether it could be whatever you're into, and you want to fill your longing with these things, does your longing ever filled? It's not. Our longings were designed to be filled with the Spirit of God. That's the only thing that's going to fill our longings. We talk about the importance of a regular time alone with God. But what about the rest of our day? What do you fill the rest of your life with after you close God's Word and walk out your door? What do you put on the radio, if there is such a thing anymore? Or what, for younger people, what comes through your phone's Bluetooth? What movies are you watching? I really believe that if we're serious about our Christian lives and want to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, we will protect our flesh and souls from ungodly things. It's not about just having a daily devotional and walking out the door. It's what do you spend the rest of your day with? What kind of music do you listen to? What kind of things do you do? What do you spend most of your time doing? The Christian life is not just about a daily devotional. It's about a complete walk of life, every minute of every day. In Romans, here in closing, in Romans 8, verses 5 through 11, it says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." So what or who are you listening to? Are you being controlled by your feelings and emotions? These are some pictures that you may recognize from Jason Reed's. I think he had a message here years back, or maybe it would have been at Encouragement. I'm not sure. But these are pictures that you might recognize. What are you being controlled by? Your feelings and emotions? Truel in his devotional said that feelings are liars. Are they always liars? I don't think that we should be controlled by our feelings. And that would be our soul, our mind, our feelings, our emotions. So here the tractor is being pulled by our mind, by our soul. Your body and spirit are along for the ride. Are you being controlled by the flesh? If it feels good, do it. If it looks fun, try it. You're being controlled by the body. Or are you being controlled by your spirit? Do you take every thought captive, saying yes to God in every situation? what is controlling you in your life. My prayer for us this morning is that we can understand better how God made us, so that we as Christians can live victorious and free lives. And it's really difficult to think this through. Again, things happen so fast, and every time a decision comes up, you don't have time to. It's a part of training your mind, I believe, to allow it to pass through, come through your senses, into your mind, into your emotions, into your thoughts, and pass, and allowing it to go to your spirit and asking God, is this what you want me to do? So let's bow our heads forward in prayer. Dear God, I thank you for how you made us. Thank you for caring about us and the relationship that you have with us through the Spirit. And God, it's so hard to understand sometimes the body and the mind and the soul and the spirit is so complex. But God, I pray that we can understand enough to know how to live according to your will, according to your word. And Lord, I pray that we would take our thoughts captive and to allow them to enter our spirit and to seek you, just to seek your spirit, to know what you would have us to do. And God, I just pray as we go from here that we would remember this in our lives, and not just our daily devotional, but Lord, every minute of every day. And the things that we choose to do, the things that we choose to listen to, the things that we choose to watch, things that we choose to look at. Lord, I just pray that we would not just listen to our flesh or listen to our thoughts and our feelings, but allow it again to pass through our spirit to know what you would want for us. Just thank you for loving us and for caring for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.